I saw in yesterday's USA Today, and it's on page 3, written by Greg Tapo. U.S. public schools suspend Black, Hispanic, and disabled students at a much higher rate than others, according to a new report by the Colorado-based civil rights group. The report by the National Education Policy Center says that frequent suspensions and expulsions should raise questions about a school's disciplinary policies, the discrimination and quality of its school leadership, and the training of its personnel. Now, this new report follows several recent studies in which advocacy groups have questioned harsh school disciplinary policies. We decided to go and talk, find the author of this report, and he's on the other end of our line. It's currently 8:51. Let's talk with Dan Lowson. He's the director of civil rights, a policy program at UCLA. Dan, how are you?
I'm very good this morning. Thank you.
Tell us exactly what you do at UCLA.
I'm the director of the Center for Civil Rights Remedies at the Civil Rights Project at UCLA.
No.
And I do a lot of research as well as sort of policy analysis, and I bring this kind of information to state and federal policymakers as well as community advocates, civil rights advocates, trying to inform. It's focused on education as it overlaps with concerns about civil rights.
This news is surprising and almost stunning. Did you feel that way as you were compiling the information?
Well, it's interesting. I've been working on issues of graduation rates and dropout rates and as well as school discipline since 1999. So I had a sense that what we would discover would sort of shock the conscience.
When we talk about how you put this report together, tell me where you got your information and how it came together.
So there wasn't a great deal of new analysis. I used federal data sets and some reports that I'd already done in the past, as well as relied on researchers from scholars around the nation. So I wanted to look at two things. Or three things, really. How frequent are we suspending children from school? And it turns out it's much more often than most people realize, and that's across the board, regardless of race, but especially pronounced for Black and Latino and poor youth. But the other thing is, I also wanted to look at the racial disparities, but also what are the links to academic issues, because oftentimes we think, oh, kids suspended, they must have done something really bad and dangerous. Well, what the data reveal when you get this information, and I mentioned several sources, federal sources, state sources from around the country, you find that the frequency is really high, and it's one of the leading indicators of whether students will drop out of school. But we're not talking about serious offenses. In fact, because we focused on suspension rates and not expulsion rates, most of the offenses, 95% of them, were minor things. One of the leading reasons for suspending students, for example, is truancy. Another is excessive tardiness, use of foul language, dress code violations, insubordination, talking loudly in the halls, kinds of things that you and I, well, I don't know how old you are, but when I was in school, you would get consequences, but you weren't going to get suspended from school. That was a measure of last resort when I was in school. And what we're finding now is that this is often one of the first kinds of responses that schools are turning to. So kids are losing tremendous amounts of instructional time, and they're winding up unsupervised on the street. I mean, a lot of the responses make no sense. If you're concerned about gang affiliation and a kid violates their dress code, you don't want to put them unsupervised on the street, but in fact, that's what the consequence often is for violating a dress code.
You know,
Dan,
it's interesting that you mention this. My two kids are 10 and 8. I go and have lunch with them every once in a while, and it always blows my mind when we go in there. The kids will be talking, and it won't be loud and crazy. But in the estimations of the supervisors, if it gets too loud, they will come on a microphone and tell us to be quiet. And so basically you have a morgue in the lunchroom, and you're talking about kids here, and it seems right. We may be a little bit too harsh on, I don't know if it's today's kids, but kids in general for minor stuff like that.
Right. The other piece that was really revealing, most times in most states, you cannot get data broken down by first-time offenders, like the first time a rule is violated. What was the offense and what was the punishment and how does that break down racially? But in North Carolina, we were able to get that data for the whole state. And so, for example, cell phone use, the first time that rule was violated, if the offender was black, about 32% of those first-time violators were suspended out of school. But if the violator was a white student, it was only 14.5%. So more than twice as likely that a black student, the first time they violate the cell phone rule, it's more than twice as likely if the student is black that they would be suspended out of school. Public the display of affection, PDA, as we used to call it, 42% likelihood if you're black, first-time offender, you're suspended out of school. Again, only 14.5% likelihood you'll be suspended if you're a white student. So those kinds of disparities were really stark and disturbing.
What's that say, Dan?
Well, it really suggests to me that there's a level of bias in terms of the harshness of the punishment that is being meted out. I don't know whether it reflects a fear on the school's part that white parents will more likely take action, go to the school board or call a lawyer or push back on the system. It's really hard to know. But it is true that if you're poor and minority in many states, but this kind of detailed data only came from North Carolina, that you're going to get, more likely to be put out on the street. And poor and minority folks, it's also true that you might be more likely to have a single parent who has to sort of make this very difficult choice whether they give up money from their job to stay at home with the student or risk leaving the student unsupervised. And the American Pediatrics Association looked at that and found that for poor folks, it's much more likely these kids are going to wind up unsupervised on the street. So we're hearing back from juvenile justice judges as well as law enforcement officials saying, "But don't turn our law enforcement into the principal's office. We don't want to see loads of kids on the streets unsupervised. Deal with the kids in school and, use suspension as a measure of last resort." It's pretty common sense, but unfortunately it seems to be getting away from the administration in many, many districts, especially at the middle school and high school levels.
All right, Dan, if folks want to see this report, where can they go?
They can go to the Civil Rights Project .ucla.edu. That's our website. They can go to the website of the National Education Policy Center. That's, I think, www.nepc.org. I'm not sure of that one, but they could Google my name. If that's Dan Lowson, that might be simpler than trying to remember the website. So those are a few places.
Thanks so much, Dan.
All right, my pleasure.